SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Snowmobilers. I kid you not. Oh, boy. For those of you that may have seen my early morning 7-second video. Hey, come on. It's too early for this. It's October 30th. Come on. Snow, yeah, it stopped now. They said, actually, it's funny, it said 7 to 9, and it started a little maybe before 7, but yeah. The first dusting, it's kind of wet and heavy, and it's going to warm up, but no one is prepared for snow in October. There were some other parts of the country got stuck with it too early, but... Hey, it's where we are. It's where we live. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. It's a weekend preview, but it's also a weekend that's going to look ahead that Breeders' Cup a week from today. So plenty of that conversation and, you know, more stratagem and so forth. So we'll do a little bit of everything, and certainly don't want to lose track of what's going on this weekend. And it's, you know, it got things like Del Mar kicking off, and you've got the Best of Ohio at Mahoning Valley. Got a nice card, actually, with worth looking. $500,000 stakes. And I didn't add up how many Luch is attacking, but he's got a couple of his, certainly a couple of his regulars. Mo Don't Know, there it is, Best of Ohio Sprint, the Endurance, and the Distaff, as well as a Juvenile, and the Galbraith. There you go, the John Galbraith, going 8.5, so... Keep an eye on that. Be aware. There's more going on. Woodbine packing in the action. And Sunday, the Coronation Futurity. And tomorrow, the Overskate. As well as the Princess Elizabeth. They've got a nice card tomorrow as well. And in New York and in Louisville. Belmont off the turf again today. I have not actually looked and noticed if Churchill is doing that as well. Maybe they're firming up on the back end. Yesterday, everything off the turf, and there's a couple of notable things from yesterday in that Churchill card. I'll slip that in. We've got sales recapping as well to do, and Nicole Russo will be on hand about midway into the morning. We'll talk to Nicole and get the final numbers and the highlights. So it was very solid. It was a very, very solid way to finish up the yearling season, the sale side of things. And now we turn toward November sales and the bloodstock trade. We've got some babies and some mares in foal and racing and broodmare prospects, etc. Worry about that on the day after Breeders' Cup, the November sale at Phasic. So Nicole's also going to get into her two Breeders' Cup divisions, the turf sprints, really the only thing that we haven't really covered. So look forward to connecting with Nicole and getting that roundup. We'll talk to Jay Privman as well, top of hour two. And, you know, Jay with the pre-entry coverage for the Daily Racing Form, as well as the races that he's tracking. So we'll get some early Breeders' Cup thoughts from Jay, James Scully. We'll get to Scully, get some plays from Scully. We'll also, with Scully and with Nick Tamro today, again, we're going to flesh out and talk about mental approach, planning, strategy, all those elements, all right? And who am I missing? Oh, end of the show. Last 20 minutes or so. How about the wheelies? We're gonna take a look and talk to Gabe Prewitt about today and tomorrow. You've got the Breeders' Crown. We always, almost always, have slipped in a Breeders' Crown preview, and so great to get Gabe with us. They've got, I think, what, four today, and six tomorrow. We'll let Gabe walk you through, but I know that the standard red side, the standard red listeners, they light up like Christmas trees. It's the funniest thing. Whenever we get to, you know, the Hamiltonian and you know, any of the big jug and anything big on the standard bread side, and we get to spend a few, it's greatly appreciated, I know, by the fans of Harness. So we'll talk to Gabe later. And Hammer. We'll check in with Hammer. And, of course, speaking of which, the Oaklawn presentation today, Breeders' Cup coverage and weekend previews brought to you by Oaklawn, inching closer. And I did see, I think Vic, was it Vic? I think it was Vic. Vic or Nancy Holtis yesterday tweeted that everybody at the respective ovals counting up the number of horses in Breeders' Cup that pass through their gates. And and everybody saying, if you want to get to Breeders' Cup, you got to come here. So Jim Gluckson to start things off after the first break. And I've been trying to get Jim, I was trying to get him ahead of the announcement, and then he was traveling yesterday, and so we'll talk to Jim and get some of the house cleaning type things. He's going to lay out and go over the protocols, because there are, and I've had quite a few emails, three, four emails, in fact, people asking about, you know, how do we go about that have ties to, or there's going to be people that are coming, much like Derby, actually. There's people that, you know, are going to come to Kentucky and be on hand. I got a couple of our partners, Neil Kleinberg and Steve Garland. They're going to come. They're going to come hang. Now, Steve has got a tie. Steve may be able to come because he's got, he's a partner in Oleksandra. So, Steve, you're probably listening. Are you? There's a real chance, I think, that Steve might be able to actually be part of the ownership team that gets to come in. So Jim's going to lay that out. We're going to hit another reminder on the BCBC, things like that. All right, we'll do all of that with Jim. And you know, one thing I did not get a chance to mention, there's the Spanish language, not broadcast, but the coverage and preview action. Ruta a la Breeders' Cup. Very nice. And I thought that was a nice innovation. And I've said this for forever, that it's an area that, you know, that the sport, I mean, given our, you know, our heavily influenced, you know, business in regards to, you know, the Latinx community. It's a natural. We got so many people to, we got stars to, you know, jocks and horsemen to, and owners. It's an area that is really under addressed, underutilized. Also, let me reach. There we go. From yesterday, I want to slip a couple of things from Churchill, and two veteran horsemen yesterday with pairs of wins. Brian Williamson won the first and the third with Mrs. Venier, and he's partnered up too in both horses. And Chris Hartman won the fourth and the tenth yesterday as part of the Churchill action, and saw that as well. Paulo Lobo, who's getting ready with Ivar for the mile. Paulo Lobo with a win in the feature, that Nepal Up. I mean, it was off the turf, the mile and 3/8 race. It ended up going a mile and a quarter, and Joe Talamo aboard and swept to the lead, and at a big price too. I mean, one easy was a $40 horse. The Balls too, KK Ball and Michael Ball with Ben Colebrook, Club Car, won that sprint allowance. As well. And how about attachment rate for Dale Romans, who was, 1-2, but then went off and won like a 1-2 shot with Talamo. And in that maiden race that came off the turf, we were kind of rooting the course for, we had the conversation with Helen Pitts, and she had that Imperial Moon debut and, really didn't get involved, and Helen sort of hinted that even off the turf that she thought was gonna need one. But train to Artemis, Wesley Ward, and the Ramses, a Tapizar homebred filly, won nicely wire to wire under Corrales. So that was a couple of the notable Churchill results from yesterday, and one from Wednesday to slip in. Gary Barber and Mark Cassie, the nice effort by that Laker Mamba, and 7-2, paid $8.80. This was the sibling of Gotta Go and Jerome Avenue that we mentioned in that nice looking maiden race from Wednesday, and I didn't get a chance to slip this in yesterday. And American Patrol split the field, kind of broke badly. This was the emollient Hofberg sibling for Bill Mott and Judd Mott. Had a soothing touch, the American Pharaoh. But actually, that's going to be obscured when that colt runs back. He's okay, maybe. Incatatus ran well, the Gentle Ruler sibling. So this is a race worth highlighting. Print out the chart and follow some of these horses. I think this is a nice group. Laker Mamba, I know that Gary Barber's excited about. Another Nyquist, and not this time. It's just crazy. Just out of control. So there we go. They got that in there, and I'll save the... I told you about that. We'll save the sale results for Nicole. Don't want to take away from her action. I think the one thing today that we're a little under, might be a little undercovered. Maybe I can slip in something at some point if there's a window. I guess Hammer might be able to touch on the Del Mar opening. I really did not get out in front of that. But you got the Catherine Crosby at Del Mar tomorrow, and on Sunday they come back with the Let It Ride, a couple of $75,000 stakes, and then after Breeders' Cup they'll start to swing into action. Golden Gate too, the Pike Place Dancer, the feature tomorrow, going a mile on the grass. And we'll do New York and Churchill with Nick and Scully. Okay. A couple of other, headlines, more or less. Yesterday you had that justified stewards hearing, and I don't know if anybody could make heads or tail of it, to be honest. The video, some people were trying to watch the video, and I have no idea where that ends up. So no reason to I'm not gonna not going to riff or speculate on that. There is, again, next week, our focus will be on Breeders' Cup. But I will mention the reporting yesterday about the racetracks and some of the Kentucky agencies that are funding what feels like is going to be a major Lasix and EIPH study. And they're focusing on juveniles, but Breeders' Cup, Churchill, Keeneland, KHRC, KTA, NYRA, Stronach Group, all funding it. So we'll keep an eye on that. They've got read the reporting. Actually, it's interesting. And asks specific questions. Does the administration of Lasix 4 hours before racing or training, does it reduce the severity of EIPH? Hard to wonder if it doesn't, but and does the administration affect performance? So the two basic questions. Let's take a break here. Jim Gluckson's going to get us started. Weekend preview at the races.
Why not go to school where remote learning can be as remote?
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Our Pennsylvania breeding program was, of course, impacted by the pandemic. Now, with our country getting back to work, we'd like to again talk about our program, the best in North America. Our breeder awards will remain up to 50% for PA-sired PA breds. Owner bonuses will also stay at up to 40%. Restricted races will again be run at all three PA tracks, and PA Day at the races will return. I'm Brian Sanfratello. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, coming up on 20 into hour one, and Jim Gluckson joining us, BC racing guy, and after lots of twists and turns, and obviously all the same decision making that the racetracks dealt with, particularly when it came to their big dates, the Breeders' Cup grappling with the conditions and making the adjustments. One element, though, that late stages of the decision making, the opportunity for owners and breeders to be on hand Friday and Saturday. And for that and some other BC topics, Jim Gluckson, good morning.
It's a beautiful morning here at Keeneland. We got to watch Tis the Law have a little exercise out on the track today. About an hour ago or so. It was nice to see that. And it's good to be here and appreciate the intro, especially the funky music. I really liked it. And I wanted to thank you for the opportunity. And yes, this is a special Breeders' Cup this year. We are not able to have fans for this Breeders' Cup We wanted to obviously be very concerned about health and safety of our participants. But we are going to have the 2022 Breeders' Cup here at Keeneland as a doing this in short order and allowing those fans who did purchase tickets here to have all their monies were refunded and now the opportunity to get in to purchase first next time around. So when we're back here in 2022. So I did want to make mention of that. Yes, the owners and the breeders will be attending six tickets per horse. For the owners and four for the breeders, and if we have more connections, we try to work out an opportunity for those individuals to add a few more folks. Also important, wanted to mention that the purses at $31 million in purses and awards over the 2 days was held in place from last year. We did not reduce purses from last year. We do know that there was we did want to raise purses by an additional $4 million to $35 million for this year's event, but it was decided in mid-September, which is going to run under the previous year's purses and awards at $31 million.
Well, and of course, the funding and the mechanism, and in fact, what just 2 weeks ago, typically October 15th, the first deadline. There's a December deadline too, right, for nominating babies.
Oh, for nomination, that is the late nomination fee. Yes, this is the last of 400 nominations for foals here at $400, and then it goes to $1,500. For the next one in December, so this is a better opportunity here to nominate by the 15th of October for in their weanling years. Yeah,
that was
an important deadline. Yeah, so this is another home game for the Breeders' Cup after having here in the 2015 with the racing community. Still very excited, and I think we have some great opportunities with fans with our Breeders' Cup at Home program through working with NBC and NBCSN with our broadcast for fans to follow with our special bat cam following the races, terrific angles, and two jockey cams per race also to be used. And there is a special 14-race individual camera plan for fans to follow their favorite horses also during the races. So there are some really good gadgets that we're coming up with this year to make it as fun an experience as possible.
A couple of those elements too, Jim. When it comes to attendance, any special requirements for those that'll be traveling to Lexington?
Yeah.
Anything they need to know?
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned it, Steve. The Breeders' Cup will provide complimentary testing on-site at Keeneland through Wild Health or the Entertainment Center. Would include, including our staff and the media who are attending and the owners as well. That will be important for us. The Rice Road Stable area also is pretty well protected for us. This area will be required a negative COVID test to get in to the track. Of course, we're requiring a face cloth or face covering here at Keeneland. And as far as attendance is concerned, all seating will be assigned here at Keeneland. The out-of-state international jockeys must be in Lexington by the 4th of November. Another important. The in-state jockeys have to have a negative test by Wednesday, November 4th. All the seating is assigned. I think that's also very important to mention. And as we have in the past with our rules for the horses themselves, they have to be on the grounds here for the Friday races by Tuesday at 12 noon and for the Saturday races by Wednesday at 12 noon.
How about for the jocks, Jim? What's the procedure? I mean, this is obviously, it's not that different, really, I suppose, the racing element is different than you had, all week leading up to Derby and Oaks. But how are the jocks being handled?
Well, again, it's a similar situation in that as far as the testing is concerned, the out-of-state, I think I just mentioned the out-of-state and international jockeys must be in Lexington by the 4th of November to receive a complete COVID-19 test. And jockeys have also have been encouraged to get influenza vaccinations prior to coming to Lexington. So that is part of the requirement. The in-state jockeys will have a required COVID-19 test completed on Wednesday, November 4th, and must have a negative result in order to ride in the championships. So those are two elements here as far as we're the precautions that we are taking.
From that standpoint, Jim, what kind of numbers do you anticipate about how many people will be on hand Friday and Saturday?
Well, again, you have to do the math on how many horses are per ownership group and breeders that are going to be here. So I would not venture an exact guess on the numbers as far as that's concerned. I would have to reserve comment on that as far as how many we're expecting in the neighborhood of. So I would have to see about that first before saying so exactly what we're looking at.
Well, whatever it's going to be, it ideally is a one and done, like all of these big events that we've been rifling through and cycling through. In fact, yesterday Churchill saying that they're going ahead with the scheduling of Derby first Saturday in May and planning on about a 40% or so capacity when it comes to how they're approaching the ticketing and sales. So everybody remains optimistic, and of course Del Mar starting today or tomorrow, Jim, and Breeders' Cup back to Del Mar next year before coming back and letting Keeneland hopefully celebrate the way we would have liked. And of course when we get to the October 30th and 31st, there's so many reminders on social media, on individuals' phones. You get these memory photographs, and it's 5 years ago today that the first go around at Keeneland, which from a atmosphere standpoint, after a cold, rainy week, then all of a sudden Friday and Saturday ended up beautiful, and it looks like that's in store for everybody next week too.
We saw advanced forecast, thank you, Steve, about 65, 66 degrees for Friday and Saturday. We hope to put that into play if we can. I think, yes, I remembered lots of rain last time during the week, and then it cleared, and we had comfortable weather on Friday and Saturday last time, and it was a terrific event for people get concerned coming to a new track the first time in a smaller track, whether it could be pulled off or not, and it was a terrific event. It was terrific and extremely well managed by Keeneland, and we're looking forward to it under different circumstances for this time around. Wanted to also mention that you brought up, we talked previously about the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge.
Yes.
Yeah, we're looking at again a tournament here. Again, there will not be players here at Keeneland. We will have the opportunity for players to, of course, play online through TVG, 4NJ Bets, Naira Bets, Express Bet, and we have three satellite locations in Gulfstream, Monmouth Park, and Santa Anita Park, and of course with a $2,500 buy-in at 400 participants, $1 million prize pool. On horseplayers.com, we have a number of tournaments to finish out as far as qualifying is concerned, or guaranteed qualifiers. We have two today, and for the Breeders' Cup on Horse Players. And then we have over the weekend, we have two Saturday, and then three Sunday automatic qualifiers for the BCBC to close out.
Nice. And I'll also, next week, we'll get Jim Goodman in, and, you know, Jim will, you know, interfacing as well for the BCBC, and we'll get the, you know, the final arrangements, because I did have a visit. We talked to Tim Schramm about, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, and you said that Santa Anita did come on as one of the satellites, because
yes,
that wasn't finalized.
That's correct. Santa Anita is on as one of the satellites. That's true.
Nice. So Monmouth, Gulfstream, and Santa Anita, because they were trying to maybe get both Santa Anita and Del Mar potentially to be on-site hosts. But good. So three satellite locations, and then all the, you know, all the platforms. So it should be as robust as ever. It's you know, it's become the biggest live money tournament of the year.
Yeah.
And 10,000 to buy in, 7,500 bankroll, 2,500 to the prize pool, and it's always exciting. In fact, I'm going to the listeners will appreciate this. I got a note, Jim. Satish wrote to me. He said, "I'm buying in." He said, "I'm buying into BCBC this year." So Satish is
outstanding.
Everybody, yes. So Satish will be firing away, and his bankroll will far exceed the 7,500.
Right.
I can see that.
Absolutely.
That's his contest bankroll. He said, if you like anything, you got to let me know. He said, don't worry. I said, I will. Jimmy, looking forward to it. You know, everybody making the best of it. And of course, from a promotion standpoint, everybody's been, you know, so good. There's been these wonderful, you know, the Brittany Erton and Nick Luck hosting the cocktail hour shows,
yeah.
And that's been great. And Pete Fornicell's been doing the Friday contest as well. And it's been you know, everybody has adjusted so, you know, so quickly and adroitly, and that includes, you know, everybody's staff, and I'm sure Dora Delgado and her team and everybody, you know,
yeah,
from Drew Fleming on down.
A real shout out for Dora and the racing department to get 201 horses pre-entered and 39 from overseas. Is quite an achievement in this world, and I think that was the important part of preserving the purses for our participants. I think that was a big element, and we have large fields for all the players. I think that's a great combination for everyone.
Jimmy, the from a coverage and a media standpoint, you know, about I know that for Darren Rogers and for Derby, he was at about, I don't know, I want to say 30%. What do you expect, and what are you allowing for when it comes to international journalists?
And I would say for us, a socially distant, we'll have about 100 media here, which is about a fourth of the size or a fifth of the size that we normally would have here. That's, you know, with having people in two different press boxes spread apart, I think it was the safest way to conduct it this year, and I think many people have accepted it and understood that that we have to have a safe environment and not have an overcrowded situation in covering the event. We're going to help with the media with some Zoom calls for people that are not here on site, as far as some of our press conferences and some of our post race events. But that has been the process this year that we thought would be the best.
Excellent. So it's about the same as a percentage. Well, everybody will power through. You know, one thing we haven't talked about, Jim, before we go, you certainly have got to be pleased when it comes to Dora and the racing side. The fields have come up really really strong. I mean, with the uncertainty through the middle part of the year, we really didn't know. You know, there were some divisions that were really undefined. But it's a classic to start off right at the top. I mean, it's a classic that people are heralding as, you know, as one of the best in recent memory.
The depth and the quality is terrific. I think the Baffert and the All-Stars and potentially the three Triple Crown race winners from this year, potentially. Obviously, we know Swiss Skydiver at first choice for the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff. But, you know, solid horses in Tom's Day Todd, by my standards, 4 of 6 this year. I think this is a very, very tough race. I would also say something else that was interesting, the Dirt Mile overfilling as much as it did.
Yeah.
And usually it's the other way around. The Sprint has more, and the Dirt Mile is the one that is a little harder to fill. But, no, not this time around. So I think that's terrific. All those Wesley Ward horses, again, the big intriguing situation here. I think that is a rather marvelous development. Yes, that the field, the size of the fields, and the depth that we've had this year is a testament to people wanting to run and compete in the World Championships.
Well, and that part when you look at the way the Sprint and the Dirt Mile are going to be at capacity. You know, that part, you know, you also have got the interesting element of Frank's Rocket seemingly, you know, right, bypassing the 7 furlong Fillion Mare Sprint
right.
to run at her preferred distance. I mean, that's a story, too.
Yes, that is a story. I think we're also the other one about, you know, another horse that obviously qualified for through Breeders' Cup Challenge for two different races was Vekoma. The long-awaited return there between qualifying for a Sprint and the Dirt Mile. Another one there that it was an interesting element for us this year. So it just provides a lot of that intrigue that we'd like, and I think that's the idea. Pre-entry is you can have a look. And then make up your mind, as long as you're not forcing anyone else out of the races, that you can take a look and then make up your decision. Of course, we have the draw on Monday, which will be starting at 5 o'clock on TVG and stream live on BreedersCup.com that everyone can see, and we'll see how it breaks out, and you get the odds right there as the races come up. Morning lines.
Oh, nice. Well, we'll be on hand, and Jim, I appreciate it. If there's anything we need to pass along, don't hesitate to let me know.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. We'll see you soon.
You got it. BC Racing Guy, everybody. Jim Gluckson, and we'll certainly, you know, as the week unfolds, the early part of the week particularly, we'll feather in anything else that comes up. James Scully is going to join us, and we'll start to do some capping. And okay. Casey trying to catch Scully. I'm surprised that. Speaking of Scully, by the way, I'm going to have a. Going to put together with a lot of the regulars, and a lot of people have been asking about the long shot lad, Kev Humphreys, and Kev is going to absolutely provide some insights. We'll get plays from him, but in addition to. You know, having a handicapping discussion. I've got a group, and I'm just looking for where I put it. There we go. I've got a nice Okay. Yeah, Casey, let me know. Jim needs something. Tells me Scully's just getting into the office. That's my guess. So we'll let him get settled. All right, that's fine. I've got we got a few things. I'm going to put together a set of opinions from everybody that. I was going to tell you who was going to do what, but for some reason I am not finding it. Anyway, James and Kev Humphreys and Nick Tamaro and myself and Hammer, we're going to put together race analysis. We'll put together a nice package for everybody. You know, in addition to my own regular opinions at the website and so forth. There's James Scully now. Beautiful. James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
First order of business, before we touch on any weekend handicapping, I've been asking everybody among the handicappers and the players this week, what's your general approach? What is your suggested Breeders' Cup attack plan?
Well, I mean, whether it's the Breeders' Cup or a big racing day, I try to, like, you know, basically approach it just like any other day. I mean, there's going to be more cards to bet on Sunday after the Breeders' Cup Saturday. But, you know, when I'm handicapping these races, I'm just trying to identify my strongest opinions. I could have, like, one horse I like best on the card or maybe up to three horses I like best. And then it becomes a situation where, you know, you're trying to leverage those strongest opinions, whether it's through, like, win bets, winner place bets, or if it's a big favorite, through multi-race plays or exactas or tries or what have you. And, you know, I think there's a lot of different ways to handicap and be successful betting, but it's never a liability to have a strategy. And one thing that's happened to me in the past, I've gone into a lot of these Breeders' Cups and big racing days, you know, pretty heady, you know, with some strong opinions, and didn't take full advantage of being right at times because, you know, it blew whatever plan I had or strategy right out of the water. You know, people are real familiar with the whole concept of not chasing after losses, but it can also be another thing where you have success early on in the day and you turn around and wager, you know, recklessly. You start betting, you know, just betting to betting because, you know, you're winning. So just try to, like, you know, I try to, you know, as I'm keep that in mind and do a better job just having a strategy for the day. The other thing is identifying and trying to beat vulnerable favorites. I mean, that's always a staple for me. The Breeders' Cup, they'll certainly be some of those in the 14 races. And when I'm betting, you know, I'm a big fan of the Pick 5 wager. I'll be playing, Pick 5 today at Churchill, and I'll be playing the Pick 5s in the Breeders' Cup. But the Pick 3s always have interest to me in the Breeders' Cup. You know, day in and day out, you can have a lot of times where, you know, the results can be chalky and the return can be small. And it's really not, the risk isn't worth the reward hitting three races in a row. But in the Breeders' Cup, that's seldom. I mean, if you could have two favorites in a row in a 10-to-1 shot, it could pay over $100 a pick three. So to me, the pick threes really offer great value in the Breeders' Cup, and that's like one type of bet that I'm always looking to make, Steve.
Nice. And that, you know, you're right about not just, you know, firing away, although I will say there is invariably spots along the way where you're going to look at the board and there's going to be a horse that you didn't necessarily like at what you expected him or her to be price-wise. And they're going to be, you know, significantly higher. And you say to yourself, well, if he or she runs well, I've got to have something. So that I don't mind, and I've always got, you know, a little bit of a you know, kind of a right pocket. I'm left-handed, so if there's something, if something in the right rear pocket, you reach for. Because I've told people this for years. I mean, when as you're winning, peel off percentages and siphon it away. You know, it's a little bit different in this case because you know we're invariably going to be playing online as opposed to you know playing with cash, but. So, you know, the money is sitting there. You know, I suppose you could, to some degree, you could, you know, immediately request the, you know, money transferred into your account too. So there is ways to siphon off some winnings so that you don't have to, you don't have to go back into the reserves.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you hit a payoff that's like $1,000 or more. That's never a bad idea. And I agree with what you're saying about the betting because sometimes it's just difficult to figure it out. I think this year's Breeders' Cup Sprint's a perfect example because that race really has a wild card in Nashville. I thought at Keeneland there were two allowance winners, Nick Scow, who's in the dirt mile, and Nashville that's in the sprint. And both those horses look like superstars. I mean, both really were just dynamite, and both their wins came back fast. Now, Nick Scow, he's a grade one winner, but he has lost like I think 10 stakes in a row since he upset that Breeders' Maturity at age two, and Nashville's never been in a stakes race. So if you like either one of those horses, perhaps they won't be bet down as much as they could be, or if you like somebody else in the race, those horses could theoretically benefit you because I have no idea what odds like Nashville's going to be in the sprint. I would think he's going to take money, but he might get, you know, hammered off of that performance last time, Steve.
Well, and the good news is, as opposed to what's happened, unfortunately, in the filly and mare sprint, where you know we've lost Bellafina already, and I, for instance, you know, there's a horse that that I wasn't going to be that interested in, or you know that you know too central to. You know, my approach, but when you lose, you know, when you lose horses and the field gets into, you know, single digits, it's going to take, you know, prices down on, particularly on the horses that you might be looking to. You know, I've got a very specific idea in there that I'm going to get to, but, you know, the way the sprint came together, you know, there's going to be, and I'm just turning to it now, there's going to be plenty of, there's going to be plenty of value spread around, Jim.
Yeah, and no doubt about it. And if that's the kind of race where if you do decide, hey, I'm going to try to beat some of the speed in here, well, to me, I look at the race and a lot of the front runners are going to be among the favorites. It could be a race where, like, a horse in there that intrigues me is Sconson. I mean, she's just really seems to be peaking right now, and I loved her last race, and she's a three-year-old filly, and I think she's going to get the right setup. But it might be a situation where I also like throw in Sally's Curl in and Bell's the One and some other off the pace types in like a pick three wager and try just the beats there and Getty Empress and Gamine and Venetian Harbor and others. Frank Schwachat.
Well, and she's going to run in the sprint.
Oh, okay, she's going to run in the sprint. That's right.
It seems like she's running the sprint. I mean, every indication has been.
They're your three main pace principles. And with Venetian Harbor coming off a win at Keeneland, you know, at low odds, I think she's going to take, you know, possibly be the third or fourth choice behind Gamine and Serengeti Empress. That's just the way I'm sort of looking at it.
Do you talk about the odds ranges? Do you make your own line going into the weekend?
No, I'm just like sort of like trying to do my own like betting like quant for horses I like, but you know, it's you know, I'm just I mean, I don't like to bet horses that are you know, I'm not like a kind of person that like says, hey, even money's fair value on this horse, I'm gonna make a huge win bet at even money. So sure. You know, I'm definitely a little bit value inclined in my straight wagering.
Well, boy, I'm just looking at the sprint, and this is going to be very good. And it's funny how you think about the fact that Volatile isn't even here.
Yeah.
when you look at this. I mean, what would he have done in here? And I mean, I suppose, you know, I suppose he would have been, given Vekoma's presence, I don't know. It's very interesting. That one, I didn't expect for the sprint to end up having to be as challenging as it's turning out. You know, and that's one of the, not a danger, but that's one of the things, and I brought this up a few weeks ago, actually. The challenge of separating your earlier in the season thinking. You know, that,
no doubt about
that,
it.
As the season was progressing, and the summer in particular, and you saw certain horses run, and you just had just locked you into something. There's things in the back of your mind that are going to creep into this, and you really can't let it. I think you got to, I said the other day, clean the blackboard and start fresh, and don't let thinking from 90 days ago, solely be your lean.
And that's the kind of race, too, where there's just no real formula for past winners. I mean, other races you can look and perhaps find some keys of how horses have come into the race. But in the sprint, horses have come back off layoffs. A perfect example for that Philly Mare sprint was Shamrock Rose. I think on September, right, 15th, she would have run 10th in the Philly Mare sprint. But she just got real good in a short period of time at the right period, because she was never as good as she was after the Raven Run and Philly Mare sprint. She was like winless after that. And then even before those races, there was a reason why she was 15-1 and 30-1 in both stakes. She just got good at the right time.
And for years, the sprint had always been the race that, there was thinking for years that, you wanted a horse with recency, and the only exception to that rule was the sprint. And then that changed. It's gotten so that, there's so many more horses that are, pulling up at the, at the end of the summer and training up to Breeders' Cup, and that's not a new phenomenon in the game in general right now, but we're getting more of that, not less.
Yeah, and I think people like last year perhaps thought that Matoli wasn't even the favorite in the sprint. I was like taking a look back at some historical stuff, and I was just looking at favorites in history, and I was surprised that Chancelot was the favorite, and that was all like recency to me. People perhaps were concerned about Matoli not running since August, but he won the four go by open lengths in his last prep, and he was the second choice in that race, and he was 6-7 last year. So that would be a case at 9-5, and he was 9-5 there in an 8-horse field. I don't think there was any way to predict that, in my opinion.
Well, and I'm looking now. I wanted to look back at Keeneland 5 years ago, and this was Run Happy's sprint. He was 3-2, and mm-hmm. second choice Private Zone was 7-2, and they ran 1-2, and essentially, after Holy Boss, and Holy Boss did hold on to be fourth after setting the sharp pace, 22 and flat and 44 and one, and he was able to hold. The only other horse that kind of came in, Favorite Tail, I completely forgot that Favorite Tail, who was sitting fifth early, managed under Castellano to get third in there for Felipe Preciado.
And Run Happy had a race over the track. He'd won the Phoenix, but in
That's
the
right.
2015 turf sprint at Keeneland, a Mongolian Saturday, he had actually never raced over the turf. He was coming off a second in the Woodford, but the Woodford that year was taken off the turf and run on the main track. And so he had never run over Keeneland's turf. Lady Shipman, who ran second, who's Dynamite, who's the dam of Golden Pal, who's in the juvenile turf sprint this year, she had only run second. She was coming off a head second in the Franklin, so she had never won over the turf. So, you know, sometimes, you know, that's the kind of race where I think a lot of people, and you're going to have four graded winners. We've got Stormy, Imprimis, Leinster, and Alexandra over the turf course. But that's a race where, you know, it's not necessarily important. You know, even at 2 years ago at Churchill Downs, World of Trouble and Stormy Liberal had never raced over the Churchill turf. So I wouldn't get too caught up thinking that experience is that important. I look at a horse like Extravagant Kid in there. He's 0 for 4, but he's broken in his last three turf sprints from the rail. And maybe he can get a better post-draw for the turf sprint.
Well, as it happens, three of the top four finishers in that turf sprint 5 years ago had run at Keeneland.
And Green Mask had won over the course. He was the
winner
over
the
course.
That's right, there you go. Yeah. And was coming off of the Kentucky Downs run where he was fourth. Yeah, it was Mongolian Saturday, Lady Shipman, Green Mask, and Bobby's Kitten. And they were separated by, about three lengths and change. Mongolian able to withstand Lady Shipman, Kathleen O'Connell, and a big, big, big try. That was fun, though, with the mm-hmm. Ganbat and the Mongolian.
Watched that race on the apron, and I watched that whole crew walk right by me, and it was hilarious. Holding the flags and banging the drums and everything. It was quite the celebration.
We'll go through quite a bit of the Keeneland Breeders' Cup, I'm sure, as part of the coverage, because it's, you know, there'll be some things, I'm sure, to glean out of it. James, obviously next week, you and I and Ed will carve it all up and get opinions. And in the meantime, what about this weekend? How about a couple of ideas going into the next couple of days?
I'll give you a couple thoughts tomorrow at Churchill Downs. The feature is a mile and a 16th allowance. They're off the turf today at Churchill, but it's supposed to be sunny all day. It should be no more rain through at least Sunday. So they should be on the turf tomorrow. But I'll start with race 8. It's a 2-year-old filly maiden special weight at 6 furlongs. It's a race, Steve, in my opinion, where the horses with experience all have some questions, amusing antics, 2-1 favorite. She comes off a race on the Oaks Day against Salty as Can Be, and Salty as Can Be just came back and ran last in the Rags to Riches. So she was almost like 10-1 in there. I look at this Chad Brown horse, you know, it looks like she's working well, but he ran her on the turf and, faded pretty quick that day. Melania, number 10 for Brad Cox, will take some action, a first-time starter by Firing Line. But she's been training at Ellis. I'm a little bit leery. I've seen a lot of these horses that have been working just strictly at Ellis ship in and, perhaps not run well. There was a horse on Wednesday Cox had that didn't fire and the exact same kind of thing. I like number 1, Hypernova, for Tom Amos. By Violence, who's a 19% first out sire, Hypernova has worked 5 consecutive 5-furlong works before getting like a nice half-mile maintenance freeze over the track at Keeneland. Tom Amos, 24% or 22% debuting in maiden special weight. And Hypernova gets James Graham. James Graham is 3-10 to start the Churchill meet. That's more wins than Ricardo de Santana, Florent Giroux, Brian Hernandez, Julian Lebrun, and others. None of his three winners were favorites. And so he's riding well. And I think Hypernova's got a shot to upset this field.
Nice.
And then in the ninth race, I'll mention that allowance race. I thought that Endorse just looks like he's, you know, not going really good now. He was flat in that Kelso. Now, granted, he's running against some really good horses in that race, but you know he runs dead last. Gets beat, several lengths by that Stand the Man for even third. And in the race before that, in the Aladar at 3-5, he just really had no kick whatsoever in the stretch. I'm against him in this spot. I like number 2, Fact Finding. For Reeve McGahey, coming in off of back-to-back wins at Delaware Park, I like him wire-to-wire. I looked at built some tickets around him. He's 4-1 on the morning line. If his price is anywhere close to that, I'll bet him the win.
Excellent.
I thought that, I took a look. I took a quick look at that Kelso. That Bold Ruler.
Yeah.
At Belmont, you know, Bull Ruler, it's 7-furlong race for him, but I had forgotten he was even champion sprinter the year after he was Horse of the Year and won the Preakness and Suburban. He holds two track records. He established two track records in 7-furlongs, Bull Ruler did. That field is really not very good. Obviously, Share the Ride looks like a wire-to-wire threat in there, but he gave away pretty readily last time. I thought Arch Cat had some appeal, because he strung together three straight wins. His win two back was fast. And last time, he really caught a tough allowance field at Parks. The winner of that race was coming off a second, in a New York Bridge Stake race to Tail the Cat at Saratoga. It was in pretty good form. Even the runner-up was. So I thought he had a little – if anybody beat Share the Ride, I thought that Arch Cat could do it at a price.
Excellent. How about you got a last – second,
I do. I got
Friday
a last
push.
Second pick. It's in ninth race today at Churchill. Multipliers 0-15 the last 2 years. He's going to be the favorite. I like number 7 Proverb. I thought he ran well two back over the track. His speed and early pace ratings have really improved in the last two races, and I think he's got the right run style, going to get the right trip with Gabe Saez. Proverb in the ninth race, 8-1 on the morning line.
Very nice for Richie Baltus. What did you say about turf there today?
They're off the turf.
They are off the turf. Okay.
All right.
That's too bad. So that was the 7th. The 7th comes off, and the 10th, which was a 2-year-old maiden fillies, and the 4th as well, a maiden 50. So three races at Churchill and 4 in New York off the turf. This has been a bad stretch of weather, for sure. Well, actually, when we get to New York, when we get to Aqueduct next week, you got the two turf courses at Aqueduct. And by all rights, we probably should have, it would have been better to have moved already over to Aqueduct. James, finally, what do we like on the gridiron Sunday?
I'm going to go with San Francisco over Seattle. I think San Francisco has absolutely found their form from last year, and the key is Jimmy Garoppolo was 20-for-25 last week for like 270 passing yards. I thought he tailed off at the end of last year. They were still phenomenal around him, but when he's playing well and their defense has just been great in the last two games, they're arguably the best team in the NFC, and I think they're going to go into Seattle and win straight up, and they're grabbing 3.5 points on Sunday.
Very good. All right. And James is on the plus side of the turf when it comes to his NFL tabs here on the show. James _ Scully 111, everybody. And we'll be with James at Keeneland next week. James, I appreciate it. And good work this weekend getting ready for Breeders' Cup.
All right, sounds good, Steve. Look forward to it. Talk to you next week.
You got it. James Scully, everybody. Let's pause here. Top of the hour, just a tick past. Jay Pridman standing by. And, in fact, we'll have a couple of back-to-back DRF conversations with Jay and with Nicole Russo. Hammer later, as well as Nick Tamaro. And then we're going to hop into the sulky. In hour three, at the end of the show, we'll get a good 15-plus in with Gabe Prewitt. Out at Hoosier Park, it's the Breeders' Crown. So, a little bit of standard bred to go with your thoroughbred action. Back after this, hour two.
Our Pennsylvania breeding program was, of course, impacted by the pandemic. Now, with our country getting back to work, we'd like to again talk about our program, the best in North America. Our breeder awards will remain up to 50% for PA-sired PA breds. Owner bonuses will also stay at up to 40%. Restricted races will again be run at all three PA tracks, and PA Day at the races will return. I'm Brian Sanfratello. For more, please visit PABred.com.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.